This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Free Left Turn, a left-wing perspective here on Free FM, independent community media. To my right is Fred. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
You look a bit under the weather.
Oh, rough night. Not alcohol-induced, though, but yeah. Dodgy soup.
Oh, right.
Yes. And good morning, Mick.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Not too bad. And myself, Craig. It's been a busy old week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, at work it has been. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Certainly we've been blessed with beautiful weather.
Good weather, yeah.
You know, last Sunday was bitterly cold and it was fine, but the wind was just bone-chilling, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But since that day, then it dropped and we've had the whole week has just been, sure, frosty, but beautiful days. And I don't mind frost if you get a nice day.
Yes, you're right. That wind on Sunday, I went outside for a while and I said, I'm not staying out here.
Right, I talked to my daughter she lives down at Rauremu down by Ruapehu in the mountains in there, and she was going to ride a horse, and she said she went down there and get the saddle out. She said, this isn't going to be any fun for me or the horse, so she went back and sat in front of the fire for the afternoon, you know.
She said
it was bitter down there.
It was one of those.
Which you can imagine with the higher altitude in.
I was thinking about doing some gardening that day. I'll just stay inside and do something else.
If you got out of the wind, like anything, if you get the wind, if you get out of the wind and you're in the sun side, it can be quite pleasant. But yeah,
all the tribes had to be out of the sun and in the wind. That's it would be. Yeah, so that was the way it is. Yeah, there was a number of interesting things that happened in the news and are currently still happening.
Yeah,
they're having this bit of a meeting in Ankara.
Detente? What is it?
Anchorage.
What is it called? Detente. How do you pronounce it?
Detente.
What does it mean?
Well, it's like coming together, compromise.
Yeah. Is it? So it's a sort of not the meeting itself. They've got an understanding at the end of it.
Well, that's what they hope to.
Yeah, they hope to have a detente at the end of it.
Detente.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm all for it. You can't not talk to your enemy.
Yeah, that was a bit like when the Labour government was in power and Nanaia Mahuta was the foreign minister.
Yeah.
You've got to have a contact, and this is to do with Russia.
Yeah.
So you've got to have contact with the diplomats there.
Well, if you don't talk to them, you're just cutting off your nose to spite your face, aren't you? You know?
You've
got to know what the other side think. You don't necessarily have to agree with it by any means, but at least it's a place that you both put up your side of it. And if you listen to what I call long-term diplomats, so I said the art of being a diplomat is listening to each other and seeing if there's room on some things to start a dialogue.
Because you're going to have to talk eventually.
Yeah, exactly. You can't physically take away the... you can take away the people, but you can't physically take away the land area. You know?
Yeah, because I think not wanting to engage with the Russians is a bit what you were saying, the nose and the face stuff.
It's even like the Israelis. You know, you need the Israelis and the Palestinians to talk to each other. you know, not, rather than, oh, no, we just won't talk to them.
No, we'll just kill them.
How does that help, you know?
No.
So anyway, we'll see what happens with Trump. His pressure on him is actually from his base, because don't forget, he's the Republicans, and especially Trump in the last two times, has said, I'm a president of peace. So he's, although the America makes a shitload of money out of providing munitions, and there'd be a lot of pressure on him. The third biggest party in that whole deal between Russia, Ukraine, and America is actually the armament. Not just the companies, but the people who own them, the shareholders.
The people who make the profit from death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just looking at the Russians were saying they've destroyed 24,000 tanks in the 3 years. Now, they've all been built, manufactured, paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about the Ukrainians owe money or anything else. That money, most of it stayed in America. Wherever the tank is built, the money stays there. The bill might go to Ukraine, but the money is still just ratchets up and everyone gets paid. So, that tank manufacturer isn't doing it on credit. They're getting paid for those tanks as they deliver them, you know. So
you're talking big dosh.
Huge dosh. And like New Zealand, we might get, I think we're getting new tanks, we've got them, and we get 6 tanks or 12 tanks. But they drive around Wairua, et cetera, get stuck in the mud, run over a few horses. Oh, no, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, but basically, they don't really, they'll have a life length of life for what, 20, 40 years?
Yeah, because there won't be any.
You know, and they'll service them. And so there's a one-off cost and a bit of servicing. Whereas the perfect tank is when you sell a tank and it gets blown up within 6 weeks and another order comes in for another one.
Yeah.
Never mind the people who are burnt to a crisp inside. That's not your issue. It's actually you've sold a tank and it needs replacing.
And you make your profits.
And your turnaround is huge.
Yeah.
You imagine the money. And America's actually done very well out of this. And other places. You know?
We were talking about off-air Germany, Sweden, those who have an armament industry.
And to be fair, the same thing will be happening in the Russian armament industry as well. And there could well be. I don't know if these Russian armament factories have any sort of private shareholders. They probably do. And some of them could well be shareholders in both sides.
Yeah, it could be also targets of drones, wouldn't they?
Under the cover of different aliases and companies, etc. Yeah. But that wouldn't surprise me at all. There's money in war. War is a racket.
Yeah, money in war, yeah.
And it's the peasants that tend to die, not the children of the ones who want the war. They tend to be at the Riviera or climbing Mount Himalaya.
Or reserve occupations.
Or a bolt hole in New Zealand.
Mm. Or wherever.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens. You know, it'd be lovely for that. I'm going to say lovely is the wrong word. It needs to stop. Yeah,
but amongst the cynics in us, Russian team versus the US team, and we can clearly see there's an imbalance.
Well,
diplomatic skill.
Well,
intact.
Lavrov would probably be, by independent thinkers, they've always rated him as probably the foreign minister. And the guy Wang, who is the one in
China
is also highly rated.
Mm.
They do their homework. They're not there because they're a radio jock or a TV jock on Fox News. They actually are there because meritocracy.
Because they're highly skilled.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Both those countries you mentioned have had centuries of practice being diplomatic. Yeah.
And it's a skill in itself. So
I think the Russians will run rings around him.
I don't really care who runs rings around what. It would be nice to have a path to peace.
Of course.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, you just mentioned skills.
You mentioned the skill set on one side is sadly lacking compared to the skill set on the other side.
Well, and
very much so. Yeah,
some attractive Russian maid on the plane will probably give Pete Hetskiff a bottle of vodka, good Russian vodka, and then apparently he's got a few issues.
He got major issues, I think.
I don't know if he's there or not.
Who?
If he is
Hetskiff, is he there? Isn't he there? Who's the people from the American side?
Well, we've got Witkoff.
Yeah, who's an appointee as well, isn't he?
Yeah. You got Witkoff versus Lavrov.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like having Brownlee and old Goldsmith on a seesaw.
Mm.
fairly imbalanced.
Yeah, that's wonderful. But anyway, we'll see what happens, and hopefully there is a path towards some sort of peace. Because, and I said this before we went on air, don't think America's won out of this. Even if they stop the fighting tomorrow, America has won hugely out of it through military. All of Europe is tooled up. The whole world is tooling up militarily. Where does all that military stuff come from?
Yeah, I kind of smell, because if it's almost like discussing on a country that's not been invited. It smells like Munich when you had the French, British, and the Germans on that side, and they were discussing Czechoslovakia.
Yeah,
Czechoslovakia wasn't invited.
Yeah,
and not long after that, they took it.
I think that's fair comment. I suppose what they're saying is Zelensky hit and the Russians, at this stage, they're so hot-headed with each other that I think the thinking is, let's try and figure it out and get them a bit closer together.
Yeah.
And so America's portraying itself as the intermediary, I think.
Well, yeah. Are they the perfect
Well, they're not. But
yeah,
they won't listen to, let's face it, there'd be others who'd be great. The Chinese, Wang, for example, would be a great intermediate between the two sides.
Of course it would.
But they're not at that stage yet. They can't sit in a room together, the Ukrainians and Russians, just about. They have over prisoner of war swaps.
So, yeah, they've done that part of it, yeah.
Which is great. And if they can do that, they surely could come. Because let's face it, that part of Ukraine, they were full of eastern Ukraine. They were full of Russian Ukrainians.
Yeah, I'm not,
there's no one there. There's just mines and destruction and death. You know.
Yeah, I'm not a Zelensky cheerleader.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of previous situation like this.
Sure.
Yeah. Country not invited.
Well, and I think if you look at New Zealand's history, I imagine there was fair lots of decisions made where they didn't. Māori weren't included at the table.
Oh, of course they weren't. The band just went, it was gone.
Yeah.
It was confiscated.
Yeah, discussion was done.
The other part is, I'm not a Zelensky cheerleader, and given that what had happened in the White House early on, where he was basically attacked by, not just by Trump, Rubio,
but by the whole
gang of idiots. Sycophants. So would he have a high trust of the US team, Zelensky? Highly unlikely.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Gets back to my point, the Russians all run rings around.
Russians are stupid.
No, they've had plenty of practice.
And if you say, oh, well, we'll put more sanctions on you, but they've actually got around that by evolving their own economy to cater for that.
In a perfect world, the way through it would be to, and it'd be too difficult to do now, but the perfect world is to have a UN-sponsored vote of the original inhabitants of those areas and see if they want to be autonomous or not. The Russians have had them in those areas, but they haven't been run, those polls have been run by Russia, not an independent body so much.
Well,
that's putting the sticking point, is trying to get the Russians and the Ukrainians to agree to a UN... sponsored referendum. If the population voted either way,
you've got to accept it.
And be able to enforce it.
And that's
the tricky thing.
But unfortunately, the bottom line is there's been so much ethnic cleansing on both sides.
There's dirt on both sides.
And the dirt goes back years. And we're not talking about just what happened in the recent years.
It goes back...
I listened to a podcast on YouTube, and it's what I usually follow. It's about the war and what the Ukrainians had done in Poland during the Second World War.
Yeah.
Appalling.
Mm. There was a bit of a to-do in Poland, and these guys waved a Ukrainian... What was the name of the nationalist group in Ukraine during the war? UN? OUN,
something like that,
and Bandera and all that, and they were running around the soccer field chanting and all this with this flag and others, nationalist flags. The Poles were upset because this group murdered thousands of civilians.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They did. Yeah, yeah, and under the guise of being allies with the Nazis. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So, real brutal stuff. So yeah. there's long memories in there.
Histories
in there. And even given Zelensky's position on Israel.
Yeah.
You have to look at that closely too. And Smotrich being of Ukrainian descent.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so no. But anyway, we'll see what happens, I guess. Mm-hmm. They're in their talks now, and let's face it, by this afternoon, they'll be heading back to their respective countries. And they might do a joint statement that's work in progress. I imagine that's where it'll go to, you know? I can't imagine they'll have any further than that. They'll have to. I think they'll have,
they'll have to include Ukraine.
Yeah.
They have to. Can't just be like Czechoslovakia.
Yeah. And the Russians will have to include the Crimeans and their people that are left in the Ukraine as well, you know?
Yeah, so, because there'll be ethnic Ukrainians in those areas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I say a lot of them been cleansed on both sides. Odessa was full of ethnic Russians and now it's not. They've gone. They're back to the east and vice versa. You know, there were Western Ukrainians inside Eastern Ukraine and they've been heaved out, you know?
Yeah, they could have gone with the autonomous area, wouldn't they, that option, because they've got...
That would have been the far better solution to have them to be...
You mean you're talking about the Minsk agreement?
Yeah, because they were, even the Eastern Ukrainians said, we're quite happy to be be part of Ukraine, we still want to be friends with Russia.
Yeah, because you've got those sort of semi-autonomous regions in southern Russia, like, you know, in Azerbaizhan. And these parts
of that. Well, and of course, there's nothing separating Russia and Ukraine on that border.
No.
So you imagine the village girl meets the village boy from over the border. That sort of trade and everything else would have gone on for years. Ukraine was fighting with the Soviet Union, you know. Ukraine was part of Russia when they were fighting the Nazis, you know. All that.
Well, some of them were.
Yeah. But officially, you know, it was part of the Soviet Union.
Well, yeah, that's a bit watch your space. Keeping with the overseas theme, Helen Clark and Mary Robertson on the border. And that brings you in here to this one, Mark.
Caught my eye. I thought, good on them.
What do you mean the border with Egypt?
Gaza and Egypt.
This
was in Wednesday's Times, and the headline reads, Clark has harsh words after Gaza border visit. And so the former Prime Minister Helen Clark and former Irish President Mary Robertson was speaking to media at the border between Gaza and Egypt, and Clark said she saw trucks carrying food and medical supplies being turned away by Israeli authorities. And she goes on to say that New Zealand has yet to, part of the article goes on to say, well, she says the war must end, which is good, but New Zealand has yet to recognise Palestine as a state, but Prime Minister Christopher Luxon announced on Monday that Cabinet had met to discuss the issue with Foreign Minister Winston Peters, saying a decision would be reached by the end of September. Luxon said there's no role for Hamas in any future Palestinian state. And then the article goes back to Helen Clark. It says, when you see an unfolding genocide, you have a responsibility to act. Describe the United States position that recognising Palestine as a state rewarded Hamas as pathetically empty words. This is not the New Zealand I've known, claiming that New Zealand was cuddling right back up again to Washington. We now really seem to stand for nothing except, you know, somehow wanting to save our own skin in a tariff war.
Yeah.
But, good on them both. Yep. Both respectable politicians and people, I think.
Yep. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're both.
I mean, Mary Robinson's on record going back a number of years during her Tennessee as president of Ireland on humanitarian issues.
Yeah,
which just to me shows that Helen Clark in particular, in the end, she was a politician, whether you agreed with things she did or not. She actually was doing it for the good of the country and the people.
Mm.
Whereas John Key, I'm sure he did, you know, did it for himself.
Yeah.
Well, where is he now? Just running chairman of a bank and driving around his helicopter.
Oh, he's a patron for the police.
Yeah, you know. So I'm just saying, she was what you call a life term person interested in society.
Well, she just seems to think New Zealand seems to stand for nothing.
Mm. Mm. Well, look at Chloe's war book, you know?
Yeah,
that brings us to that one too, yeah.
Yeah, there's a very good cartoon in yesterday's Times called Double Standards. It's a rep for the benefit of listeners. This is a two squares. One's blue, and this is, and it says double, get some guts. And this refers to a speech made by John Key.
I think it was a rant.
Well,
more than a speech.
I've been polite, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
But this was in 2015, unpunished by the speaker.
That was about Iraq or something, was it?
Yeah, sending troops into somewhere. Yeah. I think the speaker at the time was that useless fool from the Banks Peninsula, David Carter.
Right. Yeah, him. I remember him. And on the other side of the cartoon, it's got standards, grow a spine. This is referring to Clovis Woolbeck making a comment about, was it about Gaza? And she's thrown out by the speaker.
But I
think they're both wrong, aren't they? Because those words were never used. Gutless and spineless were never used. They were, they've been actually just a bit of a myth. He said, get some guts. And I think his argument was directed particularly at Cunliffe. I think he was the leader of Labour at the time.
Well, I do remember. And the same thing, like for Chloe, what had been thrown out actually helped the Palestinian cause because it made the media around the world printed it.
Yeah.
And I actually think they did the same with Key. When he said that, that also made headlines in other countries.
I don't think it paints Brownlee in a bad light.
Well, it highlights what we've talked about before, the rank hypocrisy.
Someone
says and what someone else says, and there's two different reactions.
Well, we have bad Russia and silent Israel. You know, when you talk about...
In Parliament, and you've got... They're getting up in arms because they disagree with what Clovis Woolbeck said, and they're getting all precious. And she gets ejected from the chamber, and then but someone else on their side says something... And some of those people on his side of the aisle have come out of more vitriolic stuff, and that's been allowed.
The examples they use for that too, Mick, was the C word by a member of the ACT Party, and racist innuendos by two members of the New Zealand First Party against a member of the Green Party.
But that was okay.
That's okay. That's all fine.
Yeah, so it's this double standard. It's just well, good on those two people, Helen Clark and Mary Robinson.
I was about to. The Prime Minister actually had a little bit of fortitude and actually.
He had some guts.
He actually had a go about Netanyahu and said, beyond the pale, he's lost the plot. And the squeal from Israel was
horrendous.
And from Israeli supporters.
But then you said you read the whole thing.
But then he did the whole article, and then, of course, I thought, well, good on my goodness, good on you, finally actually growing a spine. And then, of course, at the end, he couldn't help but refer to the awfulness of October the 7th and Hamas.
This goes beyond that. It goes back 100 years at least.
Yeah, it does.
October the 7th didn't start because they were...
No,
at a picnic.
It's a symptom or a reaction of what happened 100 years ago.
Very much so.
And it seems that New Zealand's jumped on the bandwagon with Canada and Australia and UK and other countries that they're going to wait till the 80th General Assembly in September. And they're going to say, "Well, Israel's going to have to. We might call for sanctions if the."
Is that a wink, wink, nudge, nudge? I'm sort of,
that's what I mean. I'm really cynical. I'm thinking you're just buying time for them to hopefully finish the job.
It's
an awful feeling.
It is. Yeah. I just think they're buying time for Netanyahu.
Let's face it. The whole world is getting more and more aware of what Israel's up to.
And it's general populations around have woken up to what's going on. It's our leaders who are lacking a spine and...
Well, and that levelness of spine is basically, I go back to, if you're going to be level, you've got to wave the wand level-handedly. If someone's doing something wrong, you don't pick and choose.
Well, if you believe in human rights, then it should be universal.
Regardless. But not, they're on our side, so we'll say nothing.
Well, we said before.
Look at Yemen. We're safe to declare war on them and send some soldiers.
This is what I wanted to read.
Right.
It comes from April the 9th in 1948.
Okay.
We talked a bit off air. That the Yasan massacre took place with around 120 fighters from the Zionist paramilitary groups Ergon and Lehi attacking the village of dear your son near Jerusalem.
Right.
Yeah. And you know how we, how people harp on, like the Zionist state cheerleaders harp on about the 7th of October?
Yeah.
According to this entry, 100 to 150 or more Palestinians, including many men, women and children, were killed, some of them decapitated, disemboweled, mutilated and raped.
Mm-hmm.
So they harp on about this almost like urban myth, beheaded babies, so that description is more vivid.
Mm.
Yeah. Many Palestinians fled in terror, and the incident played a key early role in the Israel-Palestinian conflict.
Yeah. And interesting about the beheaded babies, the other day when we were doing our flag waving at Flynn Road, someone yelled out, "What about the beheaded babies?" Like, and it's been discredited. We know it was not true, as in the sense of a deliberate act, etc. Some babies got killed, and the whole thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't deliberate. The President of the United States, Joe didn't know who he was, Biden.
He mentioned it.
He said he'd seen the photos. They were terrible. He retracted later on.
It was too late.
But it's too late. And that's what I meant. This myth is still untruth. Yeah. It's still alive.
Mm.
You know?
Dear Yassan, should be the response to any of that comment.
Yeah. And just lastly on the Palestine thing, today's quite a big day around the country, and this weekend there's big rallies planned.
Yep.
There's one, if anyone's over by the base, even if you can't attend it, if you're going past, there'll be some people there waving Palestinian flags between 12 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be, right now in Cambridge, between 11 and 12, they'll be outside the town hall. They do that every Saturday, and we do one at Flynn Park between 1 and 2 in Hillcrest, the end of Wairarete Drive, and you'll see the flags.
Yeah.
Even if you can't attend, if you're going past, please give us a toot or a wave, a thumbs up, so it's nice to get some support.
Is there one at the base, a one-off one, is it, Fred?
Yeah, they're just doing it because of the occasion. They're trying to, I think it's based because there's a change in sort of movement. Australia, of course, the Harbour Bridge thing in Australia coming out to say they will recognise Palestine. So, I think it's New Zealand is trying to put some pressure on our leaders who have trouble standing up.
Yeah. Invertebrates.
Yes. We know what they are, A Portuguese man of war?
Yeah.
Rather ironic, is it?
Or pond scum.
Yeah, but I like the comment that she was ejected out. I think the first time she said "Free Palestine." That's Chloe Swarbrick.
Yeah.
But then she came back and then she apologise and she said no.
Mm.
Yeah. So I actually like her act of defiance.
So in theory, could she be kept out of Parliament until she actually apologises to the House?
She's suspended for a week.
Yeah, oh, so it's one week and then back to business.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. But I still think it comes back to this, the double standard stuff.
Yep.
And they even talked to the old Handbrake about it, and he felt that Brownlee there's been worse things that's happened according to old Handbrake.
But anyway, I say good on for doing that.
Well, I think you said that it made around the world.
It did. Mm-hmm. So there you are. Mm. So
good on her.
And I say the Israelis still bouncing up and down. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they wouldn't. Yeah. Well, I think there's some nasty talk from Smotrich talking about things to do with Jerusalem too. So
unbelievable.
Around the world. What else you got there, Mick?
Well, Fred and I, when we come into the studio once a week, go past a certain building at the south end of town. It's been closed up for 4 years. It's where the Age Concern organisation and some of its groups used to assemble. And it's been idle for 4 years. So it was early days of the pandemic. And every time we go past, Fred and I say, well, I wonder how much this is costing, in terms of scaffolding, plastic sheeting over the entire building.
Security.
It's cost us citizens $400,000 so far.
Mm. Mm.
And it was shut down. 2021, it was shut down.
Do they give a reason why it's
long-standing water damage and structural issues.
Mm. But do they give a reason why it's been so long to do you
know? Well, it said, well, this article says still no exact time frame for a fix. Because we went past this morning. And every time I go past, I never see any activity at all. But it seems there's still no exact time frame for a fix, but the council has said the $3.5 million project should be finished in second half of 2026. Roof, street and finish and work to build a... But...
Never started
but
yet.
The reason this caught my eye was because a certain mayoral candidate has recently been banging on about waste and efficiency. And, yeah, it's cost us citizens 400 grand so far.
And isn't that the tragedy of it all? It's examples like that play into the hands of the people who don't want to get... Who they say, oh, it's about waste, but also use, well, how can we do this?
Cut community services and
lives
right
about.
Who will they target?
The ones you can least afford it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can we just go back on that one, Mick?
Sorry?
Because I know that Age Concern used that building.
Yeah, yep. They're down in Grampian Street at the moment.
Oh, that was the next question I was going to ask.
Then all the groups, because they closed that building down, they're all scattered. Some in Chartwell, some up around the hospital. Anywhere they could find a place they could rent to keep these groups going.
The only groups I knew inside that building were Age Concern and Grey Power. We're using those.
I've been there for something.
It had a cafe, and I think it had also had a computer suite in there. And I just
had several rooms around a main hall area.
Yeah.
It was a cold building.
And the visiting old people, you know, people on their own.
Yeah, that's
Age Concern.
Yeah, accredited visitor service.
That was there.
Yeah.
But so that's been closed since the early stages of COVID, and Fred and I go past once a week, and it's just covered in plastic and scaffolding. So the cost in security, maintenance, pest control, and something else. But 400 grand and going on. So by the time they finish next year, they'll be up to $500,000. That's not including the $3.5 million upgrade.
And that's to me, it's a tragedy. Anything like that, because what we want is efficiency.
We all want efficiency.
And I say the trouble is if it doesn't look efficient, you just play into the hands. And the elections this year,
certain candidates who shall remain nameless.
Who will go, oh, we've got to eliminate waste. But is that true?
But they won't. What happened? They'll trim what they see as waste, like community services, or be they libraries or whatever. The waste won't go away because they think it's their turn now to have a spend up.
Yeah, and when they come to talk about trimming waste,
it's not them.
Not them. It's usually things that are,
don't affect them.
Yes.
Bus services. Even some of those people who walk around the streets.
Security services.
Keep us safe.
Community wardens.
Certain candidate wanted to reduce those numbers too.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Yeah. They'll target what they'll
soft targets.
Soft targets. They won't go after the waste that they can.
They're part of the problem.
Yeah, well, I think they're the major part of the problem.
And they're absolutely right. You know,
we all want no waste and efficient government.
We want our management to be on skilled, and we also need management, and councillors need to keep an eye on management.
Yeah.
So this sort of thing doesn't happen.
Yeah. No, this is...
Because how many councillors have driven past that building for 4 years if you and I have driven
past it? Kind of smells of incompetency, to be frank.
Well...
and I think you're being charitable. I could take it further.
Well, they should have just pulled it down. We've got that many white elephants that...
Because I think all those groups, they've had 4 years now to... Sorry, no pun intended. They've regrouped elsewhere because that building hasn't been available. You're now got to try and attract them back to that building again.
And okay, council, they do get landed with all sorts of things that they have to do. Someone gives it, they inherit a building or inherit something. Mm. But they do have to make the decisions about what to do with it, and react because it won't affect. It affects the people that are either got to pay who have to pay the rates for their rent or pay their thing, and who are on small incomes. If you're the chief executives who make decisions about that, you're only six-figure incomes.
What you pay in rates
doesn't really matter, you know?
And
they say rates, this is what worries me, is we've just had our rates bills, demands, etc. So renters, next time your rents are due, the landlord will pass that on.
Yeah.
And probably many will pass on that and anything else they can add to it. But I say, and so we've got the elections. The anti-waste brigade will have a will remind people of this when they're electioneering.
Well, I mean, it'll probably be both camp people on both sides will be campaigning on those issues.
Yeah,
I just question the motives of certain people.
Oh, exactly.
And that's what the
waste is fair enough.
Who shall remain nameless? Because I don't want to give him or her an endorsement.
Yeah. Well, and I say,
we're not endorsing them. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So that's the danger is that they will throw the baby out with the bathwater, and they're saying that we're targeting waste.
If we're being efficient.
Yeah. And then when it's gone, it's gone. You won't get it back.
No. It'll be privatised.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get it back. Yeah.
If you get back. Yeah. That's the fear.
Yeah,
of voting, and you see, there's a lot of billboards have gone up over the last couple of weeks in the area, and we've seen the ones like efficiency, no waste, low rates.
Yeah. It seems to be creeping in general language. Those key words are creeping in.
And to back all this up is what the government have discussed around what councils are supposed to be doing, and that's supposed to be increasing rates. There'll be a cap.
The talk, but let's face it, you can't, you know, we have services that we need.
And
people, you know, everyone says, well, we need the cost of living, so they put their wage rounds in, et cetera, and say, well, we need more money, you know, because the costs have gone up.
But it's never ending. It's like a ripple in a pond. It just keeps expanding.
But what gets me is a lot of people go, oh, you know, I need more money for my wages, blah, 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 et cetera. Fine. But so do the council staff. You know, like, so everything corresponds. You can't say, oh, I want the rates to stay down or go down. It's not fair, blah, blah, blah.
Well, you can have that, but then you have to do without services.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot, unfortunately, some will go, well, we can do without those services because I don't use them. We lose that collective thinking that what is good for the whole of the city.
There's a couple of candidates who don't see the point of having buses.
Yeah.
Because they don't use them.
Yeah, there's not enough people on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the danger. It go from having a look at waste to attacking services for the poor.
Yeah, and just asset strip. Just take them out.
Once, as you say, once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing caught my eye was unjust. This is a voter of Maori roll.
Yeah.
And this woman feels frustrated because she was moved from the Maori roll without her knowledge. She registered with a Maori roll.
Okay.
She voted on the Maori roll for the last election in 2023 for the Tai Tokerau Maori electorate.
Mm-hmm.
But she decided it because she's heard other people having problems.
Mm.
So she checked and found out that she'd been moved from the Maori roll to the general roll. Okay, it might have been a genuine mistake, but she didn't get any help and no answer as to why
she's been switched. Electoral commission hasn't come back.
Mm. Why she's been switched from one to the other, which means she can't vote in the local election on the Maori roll.
When's the cut-off for that?
Well, it seems...
Has it passed? It's pretty passed,
yeah, because it means she says here she will not be able to vote in the Whangarei District Maori Ward or Northland Regional Council's Te Raki Ward, which must be coming up October, is it the same time? Around about October?
Yeah, they're all the same day.
So I took a note because other people, and I thought, well, I'm pretty certain that they've got my details correct. But for those who are listening and are concerned, they give an 0800 number, which I'll give out to you, which is 0800 367656, or email inquiries@elections.gov.nz. So you can get your details checked. But if they're wrong now, then you may not be able to do anything about it.
Did they give a cut-off date for when you can change your registration, etc.?
I'm just trying to... she was waiting more details.
Yeah, because they usually have a cut-off that you can...
Well, she said that tends a lot of form. While she updated her enrolment to revert to the Maori roll, the change cannot be processed within the 3 months of an election.
Oh, okay.
So she should have gone October, September, August. So she misses out.
She had to vote in the general.
Had she known about it in July, she could have still done something about it, I suppose.
Okay. Because don't forget, this ties a little bit in what we had a conversation about, the voter suppression of not being able to vote on the same day.
Yeah, that was a Tory trick. Yeah.
So that it could be a genuine glitch, but the fact that she didn't get any help or no answers doesn't bode well.
Yeah, it just depends. Okay, and if the date,
and you got, I guess you've got to take it in the depending on in the context, because the article tends to.
Yeah, and she might well have just been too late.
She's heard about other people and problems and left it too late and found out, oh no, you're on the general
roll. Too late to,
But there's no kind of reason why she's been moved like that or others.
No, they couldn't come up with any explanation. Yeah.
You'd think you'd be able to still do it from 14 days because, okay, the new rules are going to be that you can't register 14 days out from the election.
At that point, it says 3 months.
Yeah, so why can't they both be the same? Because the the local elections use the same pot,
same people,
people, same roles.
Why not standardise it?
Let's have, and that's what I always thought there'd be. If it's going to be 14 days for general election, it'd be 14 days for general election. Yeah, elections.
It would make things more efficient.
Yeah.
It's right in here, what you read before.
Yeah.
Maori can change, I think, I wonder if it's a stipulation for Maori voters only.
I don't know.
Maori can change between the Maori and generals any time except the 3 months before an election or by-election.
Yeah.
And the choice is up to each person.
Mm. Okay. You think they'll be standardised just 14 days because,
doesn't bode well.
Because we've got electronics now too, so it's just a matter of putting it in.
Here's the other part of it. We won't put voters on either roll by default, and we won't change a person's role without their permission, either online using verified ID or by providing a signed enrolment form. So a bit iffy in that.
So that makes it difficult, doesn't it?
Yes.
You imagine
if you're without sticks and you can't get to the nearest,
and you're not particularly educated or anything else, so you really got you'd be hoo-ha before you did this.
Is this another episode of disenfranchisement by stealth?
Sort of. Mm.
What if the dreaded AI has something to do with this?
Yeah, certainly not making it easier, are
they? Well, it seems to be more and more of these things creeping up. You know, people running foul of the system because of some perceived glitch.
Yeah.
Oh, it's AI, and it just seems to be. Covers a multitude of sins. Oh, it's AI. It's nothing to do with us. Nothing to see here.
Artificial intelligence or absolute idiot?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, in my day, it was artificial insemination.
that's true.
I'm a farmer's son. Like, that's AI. When I was starting not to grin so much, but when people say, oh, using AI, I'm always thinking about. It used to be
about fertility clinics.
Well, nowadays the cows get,
artificially inseminated.
And it was AI. You had an AI technician would come around.
Oh, the ones with the language. Glove. And the meaning, the context changes.
Yeah.
When we were kids, and this is what happened, when we had dairy cows. He used to be called the AB man.
Yeah, artificial breeding.
That's pretty big. Is he servicing the cows himself? Yeah.
But so now AI has been taken over. It's no longer artificial insemination.
Well, Sir Cliff Richard would agree with you there.
Yeah,
he got confused with the letters AI.
Yeah.
Well, was his confusion due to his age?
Oh, well, who knows?
So anything more you want to ejaculate on that subject, Mick?
Oh, that's very Victorian of you.
That's a Victorian word.
He ejaculated vigorously.
That's from Sherlock Holmes, as you were saying.
Use of words, isn't it?
How it changes.
How it changes. Perceptions and all that sort of thing.
Well, it used to be, had a gay old time.
Well,
you can't
exactly.
You can't say that now.
Yeah.
That's from the Flintstones.
Happy and gay.
Or even simply say, he's gay, meaning he's happy. No, you can't. You get yourselves in all sorts of strife.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the word awful.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Gone from positive to negative.
Yeah.
How are we doing for time?
Oh, please, I'm
here. Oh, right. Let's alludes back to how police numbers and recruitment because calls for help, police sent north. Apparently 90 police officers on 5-week rotations as overrun northern staff struggle to cope with a surge in violent crime, including 9 alleged homicides.
Jeez.
Wow. So they've been stretched.
Mm.
Yeah. Last week we talked about community stations being closed in Canterbury and Selwyn, I think
that's
it was.
Right, yeah.
So more centralised.
Calverton.
Yeah. So, I mean, that just gives a green flag to any would-be criminal. Oh, I've got 20 minutes I can do, you know.
Well, and also, let's face it, come back to, sorry, I'm no, inequality.
Mm-hmm.
The hardness of life. The harder people are treated, the harder they become.
So these cops are on 5-week rotations up in North to try and curb this violent crime wave.
They had that article on TV1 News last night, and they were talked to, I didn't get all of it, but they had this Sikh
police officer,
and I think he was in Kai Tire by the looks of the image that I saw, because it didn't look like Kai Kaui to me, or Moirua. I know what that looks like.
So police resources are seriously stretched, and this goes on. This ties in with, you know, we're not investigating certain crimes if they're deemed petty or don't have a monetary value of $500 or more.
Yeah, that's true.
So this just adds to my feeling that society is sort of gradually is fragmenting.
It's been fragmenting for a while.
But it seems to be accelerated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you listen to the commentators around the world, and New Zealand hasn't got. We're not alone.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, we have all these wars and these genocides, and we have all this going on, and people just going about their business. They don't really want to know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All those areas they mention in here.
Yeah. There's quite a few of them, aren't
there? Yeah, those socioeconomic, a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Or except for Kerikeri, yes. But
Now, Kerikeri is a wealthy white enclave, really.
Yeah.
You know, and so, sure, there's working class and there's some Māori living there, but
it's a national town.
Yeah, it's very white compared to Kaikohe.
Right.
And Kaitaia, and Kawakawa, and Wairua.
And this caught me. UK expands offender deportation scheme. This is in Tuesday's Herald. The UK government yesterday announced it would expand a scheme forcing some foreign nationals to have appeals against convictions heard from abroad to prevent them delaying deportation. The number of countries enrolled in the initiative will nearly treble to 23, with people from those nations now to be deported before they can appeal their convictions. In a separate announcement, Justice Minister Secretary Shabana Mahmood said she intends to change the law so most foreign criminals will be deported immediately when they receive a prison sentence. Apparently, foreign national offenders make up 12% of the population, the prison population.
Yep.
And the move could save money, really. Because if you're going to have these third countries, they're going to have to pay them to take these people.
That's a Rwanda thing, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I think.
And this is in response, this is Keir Starmer's knee jerk response to the rise of Nigel Farage's Reform UK party poll.
Hasn't the UK just had to release 20,000 prisoners early?
To make room.
They reckon the ministry added most 5,200 convicted criminals with foreign passports have been removed since July of this year, claiming that represents a 14% on-year increase. Mm. And the countries involved are Tanzania, Finland, Estonia, Belize, Latvia, Bulgaria, Angola, Botswana, Kenya, Uganda, Zambia, Western Allies, Australia, Canada, and India, Indonesia, Lebanon, and Malaysia.
What happened to Rwanda?
So you have to, just to get me to understand it, so that if you are an Indian national
and you're convicted,
you go back to India. You don't go to any of these other countries.
No, that's what they want. That's what they want. They're going to deport you before you can appeal your conviction.
Yeah. I get it.
And of course, amongst all these people will be some refugees.
Yeah.
It will be deemed as undesirable, so they'll get swallowed up in this.
The public would probably support it, I would think.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, especially given the racist slant.
Especially after those two young girls in Northern England were attacked or sexually assaulted
and the
town went on a rampage.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
So that, because I look at Australia, like we get there, what's the name?
501s.
501s come here.
Mm-hmm.
But is this for just people that are, they're not like long-term, they're are migrants that have been put in jail. Illegal migrants.
These
are
foreigners.
Yeah. Illegal, legal, or illegal.
Well, it doesn't say. Well,
foreigners.
I think that will be dismissed. That will be conveniently forgotten about.
Yeah.
If you're a foreign national, you've done a crime, you've been convicted, you'll go back to where you started.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's the thing with Australia, of course. They seem to, they're still technically a New Zealander, even though they've lived there for, you know, they moved over when there was a toddler. They're still technically a New Zealander, some of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that has, that could have serious repercussions as far as human rights goes and all sorts of things, you know. I'm not advocating that violent criminals should be able to get away with what they've done, but...
it is a way of also, I suppose, from the point of view of the society, they go, all right, you know, you've come in here, you'd be good, you'd be all right, but you commit a crime and you're convicted of it, you're out.
Yeah, but predominantly most of those are from non-European countries.
Yeah.
It just smacks.
And there's the danger of that.
The danger of...
Yeah,
well, I think
if they apply it to the American and to
if
the,
it's
the
evenly,
New Zealander and all
evenly,
that,
fine,
understandable.
But
but they don't.
No, because people have got agendas.
Smacks of racism.
Yeah,
especially if you involve Farage and friends.
Well, where does it can get out of hand?
Well, slippery slope.
We will lend.
Where do you draw it?
Yeah.
What else we got here? This is close war break again. This was, we're doing for time, all right?
Yeah.
Monday, August 11th, headline reads, work to do to government war break. Hipkins has no interest in arguing with the Greens polling under 10%. She's saying that Greens have expressed their desire to lead the next government, okay, with the political party's co-leaders this week. They must have had a conference on the previous weekend, that's right, yeah.
The Greens?
Yeah. And should the Greens lead the next party, Swarbrick said that the party's membership should explore options for what the co-leaders' roles could be. She's talking about the division that New Zealanders have, you know, about taking back control and build the most progressive government Aotearoa has ever seen.
Well, and you can ask, we're so polarised. You know, our inequality is
through the roof. Yeah.
And of course, the danger of inequality is that then people believe that that's their right or that's their normal, and they lose that empathy. Mm. If you're on the wealthy side of inequality, and if you're on the poor side, you can easily develop resentment, hate, that.
Well, that's what we're getting now.
Let's go back to your police after all.
Yeah.
And not and you don't feel invested in your community, so you don't give a stuff about, you know, putting a window through the bus shelter window that the council's got to then turn around and pay for and transfer on. We need everyone to be connected.
Well, she's trying to push the more inclusive approach.
Saying that
the Te Tiriti should be a blueprint for bringing us together. But she might have a hard row to hoe on that one, because vested interest and racial.
Yeah, and they say that distancing, when the old idea of state house rentals, etc., they were peppercorned around the suburbs, so the poor and the wealthy kids mixed with each other on the playground.
And society was more cohesive.
Exactly. Bit more understanding of each other.
And it worked.
Yeah, it did work. Mm-hmm. Same thing with private hospitals, may I add. You know, they're bringing in private hospitals, and of course the elite go off to them, and the people who can afford their insurances or whatever else. But does that weaken the state? You know? And that connectivity between people believe saying we need a health service for all, you know?
Yeah, that's where you get the money for public seems to get siphoned into the private.
Yeah. So and the irony is, of course, it's the same surgeon whether you're in the private hospital or the public hospital.
Yeah.
Doing quite nicely, thank you very much.
And this last piece, I'm not sure about it. Velocity Council, this headline reads, pay extra to accelerate consent process. Builders and developers in Hamilton could have the option of fast-tracked building consents, but they might have to pay more to get them processed. I thought, sure, if you've already got the system set up to process consent applications, why do they need to pay more? Not that I'm defending developers necessarily, but having to pay more to speed up the process.
But fast track, does fast tracking mean they won't do? They won't check everything off as well?
Well, see, that's the danger, isn't it? If you fast track something, do things get left out?
Well,
intentionally or not intentionally.
Fast tracking on environmental issues.
That's the main one. That's the main one.
I mean, it's this is being promoted by Senator Thompson.
Words, if I give you paid $500 for the fee for the fast tracking and against $300 for the ordinary system, but fast tracking means they'll do it. It'll just get stamped.
Well, some corners get cut.
Yeah.
Environmental, like cultural, like whatever
so
else.
So the developers, some are for it and some are against it. Matt Stark, who set that thing up in Hamilton East, he's against it, saying why should they pay more. And I kind of agree. Why should you pay more if you've already got a process in place?
Just do the process. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, get more staff. Yeah. So to,
and if it has to go...
Yeah, it's supposed to go through some sort of screening process, surely.
Yeah. Mm, should do, yeah. Yeah. But I think this, with this fast tracking by the current government...
It's a slippery slope. Mistakes genuinely or not can be made. Yeah. And then it's too late to try and rectify them.
Yeah.
So that's me and my little soapbox.
Have you got the last one?
No, nothing else. Actually, a couple of things. We've done... I say my... Luxon, I thought, was growing a few rahu and was doing...
He shrank.
And then he retracted. But good on him for actually having a go at Netanyahu. I have to give him that credit.
But so, it got kind of diluted, though, didn't it?
If he just said lost the plot...
If he's just stuck to it, he would have got a bit more money.
He would have got full marks from me. But anyway, good on him for at least actually being brave enough to say something, you know, in the initial point.
Yeah, true.
But actually, I want to talk about Taiwan.
Okay.
Because they had a recall election just recently, and the DPP has the president, and the president is Lai Chi-te, and the president controls, there's five areas of government in Taiwan,
right.
And the DPP control four of them, but the legislative, in other words the parliament, is actually controlled by the KMT and the TPP.
Right.
And TPP is Taiwan People's Party. And the KMT is the old Kuomintang.
Did you say five layers of...
Yeah, well, they have...
five branches, is it?
Five branches. You know, so you have executive, judicial, legislative... And what's it? Isn't it?
Quite a few countries have that sort of thing.
Executive, justice...
Yeah, I should have, sorry.
They've got five.
Yeah. So the DPP thought, well, actually, how can we get rid of them? So they... You can put in and you get 1% of people to sign a petition. It's a bit like petitioning people.
Right.
And so they do a recall election. And they had a vote, and actually the KMT, none of the, I think there was 24 of them, the DPP lost all of those recall elections.
Wow.
The people said no.
So Kuomintang or whatever you call them.
And Kuomintang is, although it was... You know, they were the ones who lost the war and fled from China.
And they were brutal.
They still have a relationship with China.
Right, interesting.
Which is interesting. And so if you want to know more about it, I only just...
It's very complicated.
But if you've heard of neutrality studies, and this guy Pascal Lotaz, and he does a very good job. He interviews what you call stuff that's interesting but not mainstream media stuff.
Right.
And she interviewed this Joanna Lee, who's a political commentator, was to do with Kuomintang.
Mm.
But she said, it's interesting, in Taiwan there's an awful lot of meddling happens. They all talk about meddling from China, but there's a huge amount of meddling that also comes from the West.
Oh, there's a surprise.
There's a surprise. So,
Is it the greatest so-called democracy?
Yeah.
One of those players?
Yeah, but, you know, Taiwan's, you know, because what they're worried, the Taiwanese people are worried that they might become the next Ukraine. And they'd be the pawns in the middle.
It's a possibility, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the recall election was a bit of a backfire.
Yes, it was a backfire.
Why is it called a recall? Like they revisited the election
It's like
result.
An impeachment. Basically, it's an impeachment of because they're not doing what...
So it's an impeachment.
And it failed.
Right.
It's a backfire.
Failed.
Right.
Yeah.
I've just never
Big
heard
time.
A term before.
And there's recall. Seven more. There's seven more recall elections to be had in September sometime, I believe.
So, impeachments.
Yep. Yeah. But they call it recall.
On that note, we're out of here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, fine. Free left turn. We've got our own podcast and on freefm.org.nz.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.